And thank God we are a great nation. I do have a good word this morning. The word of God is always good. I want to talk this morning for just a few minutes. I won't talk long because if it takes too long for a person to explain something, they don't understand it well. So listen quick, and it is a good word. I want to talk about keeping our expectations high. It's easy when there's a crisis in the world, and it is global, and everybody's feeling it, to settle for a lot less than what God has planned for us. And the importance of our faith and how our faith makes a difference in getting us through tough times. Just imagine, with all that's going on in the world, in my home, in your home, all over the world, what it must be like for people who don't know God, for people who don't know whose name to call on, for people who the Bible says are without hope in the world. That's not our condition, because we are children of God. We are believers. And there was a day, I will talk briefly about one day in the history of the world. It happened 2,000 years ago. And in that one single day, centuries of prophecies were fulfilled. That day included Jesus eating with his 12 disciples the Last Supper. Of course, later that same day, he would be crucified. What he actually did was gathered the 12 and had the first communion. We would know it as Holy Communion. And while he was enjoying that meal on this historic day that changed the world, Jesus said to his disciples, "Here at this table, sitting among us as a friend, is the man who will betray me." His disciples talked among themselves and said, "Who in the world could he be talking about? Which one of us would ever do such a thing?" And of course, quickly it was revealed to be Judas, the one who betrayed him. But in that same conversation on that eventful day, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, Jesus looked at Simon Peter and said this, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers." I'm talking about keeping our expectations high, and the words Jesus said, "Your faith should not fail." This is a day when faith makes a difference. The difference between life and death, possibly, between blessing and curse. I'm so glad I'm in the faith, and I want to maximize every benefit that's coming to people of faith. This is the season for faith to really pay off in the believers' lives. We don't have to sit around and be pitiful and hopeless like those who are outside of the faith. In fact, the news we have is so good, they should be attracted to it during a time like this. Jesus said to those who followed him the most closely, "Your faith should not fail." Jesus said, "I'm praying for you that your faith should not fail." That gives me the boost I need, because if Jesus is praying for me, I believe his prayer will be answered and I will benefit from it. The Amplified Bible says that your faith and confidence in me will not fail. The Passion Translation says that you would stay faithful to me no matter what comes. The Message Translation says that you would not give in or give out. Your faith should not fail. I'll just tell you in plain Florence street language what Jesus was saying to Simon Peter. "Simon," Jesus said, "the devil has asked if he could shred you to pieces, sift you like wheat. But the prayers of Jesus intervened and stopped the devil's plan to destroy the Apostle Peter. Now, how does our faith work in such desperate times? Faith is absolute confidence in God based on trust in His Word. Jesus, when He was walking the earth, referred to different measures of faith. Measuring spiritual things is difficult. You don't have a ruler to do it. But the Bible says everyone is born with a measure of faith. Sometimes Jesus looked at a person and said, "Oh, you of great faith." Great faith. You can measure it. Jesus did. Sometimes He said, "I've never seen such great faith in all of the nation of Israel." Then other times Jesus would look at a person or a group of people and refer to their little faith. "Oh, ye of little faith." He measured it. And how sad it was, but there were a few occasions when He said to people, "You have no faith." Great faith, little faith, no faith. We all begin with the measure of faith. And life on earth is about adding to our faith, increasing our faith, because it is the currency of the Spirit. We add to our faith, and then when we have a need, we use our faith that we have deposited in our life to get the need met that we have. Now, we have more faith than we realize. I have more than I realize sometimes, and you do. You just think about it. In order to be a believer like we are, you have to believe unbelievable things. Like you have to believe that a virgin never knew a man, was never intimate with a man, but yet got pregnant and gave birth to the Son of God. I've never questioned that. I know it's scientifically impossible. But when there is tension between faith and science, it doesn't bother me a bit. I just know that the scientists don't know everything God knows. I'm sure that's you. You probably have never doubted the virginity of Mary. It takes faith to believe something that unbelievable, but you've got it. Then, in order to be a believer, you've got to believe that a man who was 33 years old was executed, put to death, and he was dead and in the tomb for 3 days. And after 3 days, that dead man came back to life and showed himself to more than 500 people after he came out of the grave. Now, it's impossible that a man that's been dead for 3 days would come back to life in the natural. That's unbelievable. But yeah, I've never had a problem believing that Jesus was dead for 3 days and was raised back to life. You have more faith than you realize. You're able to believe some things that are unbelievable. It's the measure of faith. And faith can be measured. My grandsons and granddaughter in Austin, Texas, their names, as you know, Hollister and Gideon and little Eden. Their other grandfather, Roy H. Williams, and he said this: "You cannot improve what you do not measure." We all begin with a measure of faith. That's enough to believe on the Lord Jesus. And then as we come into the kingdom of God, we increase our faith by hearing God's word. Do we really value our faith? How much value do we put on God's word? I've always believed God's word is true, but in the last couple of months, like all of you, I'm sure, I have found greater comfort in the Word The Word of God speaks more clearly to me. I take the Word of God more seriously than ever. And as I hear and understand God's Word, my faith grows. This is a time when more than ever we should respect God's Word and manage our faith. God's Word is like an instruction manual for us. Someone said it's an owner's manual. Well, that's really not true because God owns us and He don't need a manual. I think it's for our benefit. It's an instruction book to teach us how to live in the good times and how to live in desperate times like we're facing today. This is an instruction manual for life. Many of us don't appreciate instruction, so we don't get all the benefit from God's Word. Here's what Solomon says about instruction. All of these verses are in the book he wrote, Proverbs. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 4:13, take hold of instruction, do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. Proverbs 5:23, he shall die without instruction. In the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Proverbs 8:10, receive my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than gold. Proverbs 8:33, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son hears his father's instruction. Proverbs 13:18, poverty and shame shall come to him who refuses instruction. Proverbs 15:32, he that refuses instruction despises his own soul. Hello, this is the day, this is the climate in the world that we should embrace the instruction book, how we live our lives by faith more than ever. Now, faith is the power of confidence in God. Doubt is the curse of uncertainty. You know what that's like. But the more acquainted you are with the Word, the more you feed on the truth of God's Word, then the stronger your confidence in God is, and you starve your doubts to death. It's an awful thing to have a need from God and to be uncertain about it. When faith is the power of confidence in God. Jesus prayed a famous prayer, and he said to the Father, your word is truth. Faith says, you don't have to prove it, I'll take your word for it. And there's a difference between the facts and the truth. Facts are subject to change, but the truth is forever settled. Facts are subject to change. A fact is like this. It can be true right now in this moment of time. It can be. But in the next moment or an hour or a day from now, that fact may have changed and it's no longer true. If I have 2 quarters in my hand, the fact is, I have 50 cents in my hand. I have 2 quarters in my hand. That's the truth right now. But if I go across the street and buy a piece of gum, I may need to borrow some money. Or a 50 cent cup of coffee, then it is no longer true that I have 50 cents. It was a fact. It was true at one point, but the facts are subject to change. But the instruction book we have is the truth. And it's forever settled. It changes not. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how faith is increased. There's no other way. Well, there is another way. There is the gift of faith that could be imparted. Now, that's biblical. But for the most part, the way we increase our faith is by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That could better be translated like this. Faith comes by hearing and understanding by the Word of God. If our faith is not growing, it's because we've not continued hearing and understanding the truth of God's word. Some people believe in Jesus, but have drifted out of earshot of his voice, not paying much attention to the instruction book, not building their faith. And that's so critical at a time like this. Now, it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That faith comes. Faith is increased in our lives as we hear and understand the word of God. A word must be spoken before it can be heard. And faith does not require sight, but it does require hearing. That's why so many times Jesus said, if any man has an ear, let him hear. He said many times, be careful how you hear. Take heed how you hear. He never said, if any man has an eye, let him see. Because faith is not by sight. It comes by hearing and understanding the truth of God's word. God may be invisible, but he's not silent. These are days to hear his instruction, and our faith should not fail us, even with the world in the mess it's in. We should be set apart and different because of our faith in God that is fail-proof. So I'm keeping my expectations high. Even no matter what the stock market and all this and the health officials, and I'm listening, and but hey, it hasn't changed who God is. And I'm expecting God to continue to be good to us. He's always been. Just think of everything he's brought you through. All that you've been through in your life, God has brought you through every bit of it. I expect he'll continue. I expect even in the middle of a mess, the goodness of God is going to be obvious. Now, I want to read a verse of scripture that I've shared with you before. It's one I really don't like. But we might as well accept it. If it's in the instruction book, it's the truth. It's in Hebrews 4 and verse 2. It says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So therefore, it requires more than just hearing. It requires hearing and understanding the truth. Because it says the gospel was preached to us and to them. We both groups got the same instruction. But the instruction that they heard, it did not profit them. Because it wasn't mixed with faith in those who heard it. The Amplified Bible says the word did not benefit them. NIV says the word was of no value to them. I don't like that one bit. I don't like those phrases. But it's possible to just be a hearer only and stop short of understanding the truth that comes with the instruction of God's word, and it be of no benefit and have no value. Two groups of people, they both heard the same word. They both received the same instruction from God's word, and yet it didn't benefit one group a bit. It was of no value to one group because it wasn't mixed with faith in those who heard it. That tells me that the word of God is powerful, but it can be unprofitable. I don't like that one bit. Not a bit, I don't like it. I think that happens a lot. God speaks. The instruction is available. Every group can hear it, have access to the truth. It tremendously benefits some, and for others, it just goes right over their head because they may have heard with a natural ear, but they did not receive understanding that would build their faith. The Bible even talks about a faith that is dead and useless. I don't like that either one bit. I'd rather have faith that's quick and powerful and overcoming and mountain climbing That's all there. It's available for all of us. It's in the instruction book. I definitely don't want to go to work with dead or useless faith. Faith is so important that Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes back, will he even find any faith on earth? No, God is looking for faith that works. And when he finds it, he will rise up strong in that person or that group of people. I'm telling you, the way the world is right now, it's a great opportunity for the church to keep our expectations high and believe God to take advantage of so much evil and turn it around and do so much good with it. We are the leaders in the world when it comes to things that can turn around by God. Now, here's one of the secrets, and I'm going to wrap it up quickly because some of you may want to go throw something on the grill. It is a holiday weekend. In Colossians 3:16, it says, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Now, I like all those words. Beginning with the first one, let it. You don't have to force it. If so, the Word would have said, force the Word of God. But it says, just let it. Just allow it to dwell in you and I, like the last word, richly. God's Word will not have full effect until we let it dwell richly in us. Ask yourself the question, does God's Word dwell in you richly, or does God's Word simply have weekend visiting rights? The difference. Many people hear from God, get a little instruction from God on Sunday morning. That has changed. Amen. People are worshiping at home. People are finding out home is a great place to worship God. People are finding out I can hear God speak in my house. People are finding out even in their homes that the instruction book is alive and available for them. I think people now more than ever, even in this climate, are allowing, just letting the Word of God dwell in them richly, more so than ever. Now, as opposed to the group that comes just on Sunday morning, get a word, and then do not feed their spirit all week long. What would you feel like if you did not eat any food on Monday, none on Tuesday, none on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday? You starved yourself for 6 days in a row, and then on Sunday, you started binge eating. That wouldn't be healthy. There's a disorder called a dysfunction. I mean, we're not built to do that. Well, it's the same way with spiritual food. Jesus said, I have bread you don't know anything about. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Have you gotten a proceeding word from God lately? We should have a daily diet if the Word of God is going to dwell in us richly. John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, there it is, abide, dwell. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. There you go. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what Jesus said. So I tell you, I'm changing, not instantly. It's a process. I know and I hope and I believe for all of you, you're changing. This thing that's baffled the world has not thrown Jesus off the throne. And we're still the church. We're still the people of God. And we still live by faith, not by what we see. The world is in a mess, but God is encouraging us the people of God, to keep our expectations high. I just believe things are going to get better. My glass is more than half full, always. That's the benefit of having faith. We should live our lives differently, even during this time, than those in the world who have no faith, who don't believe in God, who don't know the name that the Bible says everyone that calls on this name shall be saved. They may not even know the name, but we do. We know what name to call. In Psalm 27 and verse 13, this is just a couple of benefits that were for me personally this week in the Word. David said, I would have lost heart. One translation says, I would have given up unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What good news is that to a world that thinks they're dying? David understood. He had been through desperate times, and he referred to that season in his life as, I would have lost heart. There was a temptation there just to bail out, throw in the towel and call it quits, except he believed that he would see the goodness of God, not just when you die and go to heaven, but he said, see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, the land of the living, I'll tell you where it is. It's here and now. We're in the land of the living. I agree with David. Turn on the news, you know it's broken. Breaking news all the time, it's broken. And the bad news keeps getting worse. But the good news keeps getting better. And I agree with David. If I did not believe, if it wasn't for the faith in God that I have, that I'm going to see His goodness here and now in the land of the living, I would be tempted to lose heart too. David was telling the truth. That verse means a lot more to me, and I hope to you today, than it ever has, because of circumstances around us, but in the land of the living here and now, the goodness of the Lord is obvious on the lives of His people. Now, in Isaac's generation, there was famine in the land. Now, you could say we have famine in the land now. That's one word that could describe it. There are shortages, threats. There are so many uncertainties. It's a famine of sorts. And in Genesis chapter 26 and verse 12, it said, Isaac sowed in that land. There was famine in the land. There's famine where we are. Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The next verse says, the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. That's redundant and redundant. Three times in one verse, there's the word prosper. And I don't want to be labeled a prosperity preacher because it seems like that's a negative rap. But I do believe God wants to prosper His people. I mean, no apologies for that. I don't want a label. But I do believe the truth. And that even in famine, the goodness of the Lord is going to be obvious in the lives of His people. It said, Isaac sowed in a famine and reaped in the same year 100-fold. That's Bible talk for it. Don't get no better than that. 100-fold. The Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. I've just changed my mind right now on the spot. I'm a prosperity preacher. don't make fun of me. If I'm going to believe God wants His people to be blessed, even in famine, call me crazy, but I'm going with it. Faith is believing the Word of God and acting on it no matter how I feel, because God promises a good result. And so I'm encouraging all of us, let's keep expecting great things from God. Let's keep expecting the goodness of God to affect our lives, even in the middle of a famine going on, and our faith should not fail. Bow your heads, please.